All right, good morning. It is 11 o'clock on March 3rd. We have a meeting for the quarterly meeting with the ADJ and TCA. And so both of them are here. Welcome, Judge Whitney. Welcome, Benina. What do you have for us today?
Well, I provided you with just a memorandum, and it's just data. And at the top is our court assistants. Lead officer, Tony Salazar, mm-hmm. He presented at the legislature, the Supreme Court asked him to, and to talk about, you know, court assistants and how many people they serve. And then Ada County, their deputy trial court administrator, who was a court assistance officer, she also presented, and Tony came back with this data, and I thought it was really good to share about the total contacts that they had. Ada, 17,488 for 2025, and we had 12,437. And they have a staff of five, and we have a staff of two. Now it's 2.5. But I don't come here to say, oh, we need more people. I'm just kind of...
We are warming up for budget season, right?
They're very efficient. And it's very impressive, the work that they do. If you're up on the third floor by our office ever, you see they are lined out the door. And we do have a half-time. We were finally able to fill that position. And she has worked out really, really well.
So what does a contact look like a typical?
Like walk-ins, phone calls, because they can do a lot over the phone.
What are they asking for? What do they need help with?
Primarily family law. We get people come in there about any type of pro se litigant that wants.
Okay.
Need help filling out forms. Primarily, the majority of their cases are all family law cases, but they do like evictions. I mean, they get questions about that. They get questions about guardianships. I can't think off the top. No criminal defense.
Okay, I got you.
Just all civil.
Yeah. We even see them at the district court level. People who, and there's an increasing number of people who come to district court because, you know, the cutoff is $10,000 for a civil dispute. But increasingly, people are using AI to draft, you know, their legal arguments, but they don't know how to actually access the court system. So that causes them to go to the courthouse assistance office. So to answer your question really candidly, most of the people go there, can't afford a lawyer, and want legal advice. Now, they're trained to not give legal advice, mm-hmm. but they are trained to tell people, here are forms that are available to you, because the Supreme Court, the Administrative Office of the Courts, has a years-long project to try to make things as easy as possible for people to get access to the court system, even if they don't have a lawyer. Mm. And so, honestly, it's just going to grow because our population, of course, is growing. But as the population grows, the number of people who can afford a lawyer grows. And so the lawyers in the community, they don't have to accept clients who have a diminished ability, a lesser ability to pay, because you've got a group of clients with more money. And so the upshot is you've got more people. They still have conflicts. They still have disputes. But they need to come to court without a lawyer. And that's where they end up is courthouse assistance. So it's a huge deal. I mean, it's an important thing. I remember when they created that office, I don't know, 20 years ago, was
it?
Yeah, and the very first person did it. And it really helped out a lot because otherwise people go to the clerk's window asking all the same questions. So it's a great service, but primarily it serves people who cannot afford to hire a lawyer.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you saying that. And Chairman, if you look at the numbers, I do appreciate you bringing this, Benita, because if you divide that out and prorate each person in Kenya, in Ada counties handling 3,497 cases annually, each person in Kenyon County, and that being a part-time one, 4,000. 974. So if you just took the full-time people, you would see it over 5,000 per person. That's a lot of cases, a lot of contacts for people to make. And I know that you had approached the budget process last year. Part of the reason we had a commitment to taxpayers to not fund any new positions unless they were able to pay for that position without pulling from taxpayers again. So we met that objective, but it's still, it's obviously that there's a need for assistance in managing the volume, especially as Canyon County grows, of the context. And you have great people up there.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
We've been really fortunate.
Yeah.
Tony's been, he's the first part-time starter court assistant in Canyon County.
Okay.
Tony Salazar. So
yeah.
Still here.
He's been a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. He's great.
He mm-hmm.
does great with people. And our staff there is bilingual, which really, helps.
Yeah. No, it's that whole court program really is designed to benefit the people that need the services. So with more than 35 languages available for interpretations, I know that's not, it is, you interface with that, even though I don't think you have direct supervision over that, the interpreters, but you work closely with that. And so all the services that are provided, thank you for managing that and doing that. Benita, you're actually a state employee.
Yeah.
Now, and so working within Canyon County and been doing that successfully.
And that's an interesting point, because that office, we have to coordinate a lot with the interpreter's office. Usually things go pretty smoothly, but sometimes, for example, recently Judge Petty, and I know this, it didn't come to me as ADJ like a problem, but Judge Petty and I share chambers, so we have one person is our secretary, so we each technically have one half of a judicial assistant. So we each had jury trials set the exact same week that happened to need interpreter services, and that's a very intensive project for the interpreter's office, because you can't just put two in there because they have to rotate. They can't just be all day interpreting. Their brains just kind of melt down, I guess. That's what I've been told anyway. They didn't use that term, but that's what they meant.
I've watched it happen where they actually had three that were rotating. They'd each go for 5 to 10 minutes and then pass it off to the next one so the first one could take a break.
Yeah, and get a mental break, yeah. So it's getting to be, it's kind of like our population growing. It used to be relatively unheard of that we'd have two going at once that needed interpreters. But now, because our population's growing, we have more trials happening. And then because our population, we have such a strong Hispanic presence in our county, the number of, probability of having two Spanish language trials at one time. And again, the trials taking place in English, we're interpreting so that the Spanish-speaking participants can understand what the court is doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the complexity of it is growing. We have nothing to say about budgeting or anything today, and we don't have any plans to say anything about that. Just want to let you know the complexity of it is
growing,
like a lot of other things.
Yeah. I'm glad that we are able to finally use the comparatives with Ada County. We're not Ada County, but we are the second largest county. And so I've never been a person that couldn't learn from what somebody else experienced that's led the way and blazed the trail and made the mistakes. So to have comparatives with a larger county that holds more trials and contacts than we do, I think is a good thing. And looking at what their dynamics are, appreciate the information.
Thank you. Thanks.
Do you want to talk about anything else in your chart, or
do you have any other questions? It's just our jury trials. I do have the data on. I think we had 1,572 jurors donate fees. And I have talked to Aaron Bazzoli about that, but anyway, I do have that data that I could send you. Of course, our treatment courts, they really are an added value. very much.
Yeah. I have a question on your jury trials. So you will be coming to the board asking for funding for that district judge in 2028 and the support staff that goes with that.
That would be, well, we have, right now we have one judicial assistant mm-hmm. that has one district judge assigned. And then she does all the mediations, courtroom scheduling. She does many other things. But, you know, we would look at that and assess if we could, you know, she could take on another judge and maybe spread her duties, just depending who yeah. knows, fiscal year 2028. And as we get closer, we would need, it's a requirement. We have a letter of support from the commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
And the one position that would be a county position that would go for a district judge would be a staff attorney.
Yeah.
And stuff. And generally, it's a judicial assistant and a staff attorney. But
the last time I think we did that, Benita, was probably in 2019, maybe, where
I think it was 2021.
Maybe.
And we got Judge Grove as a.
Yeah. But it does require board approval because of the ancillary costs associated.
Yes, that's why I wanted just, it's in the fiscal year 2028 mm-hmm. state budget. But I thought I'm going to put that in there. And of course, as we get closer, we'll.
I think that's good. I like long range planning. There is a fiscal impact to doing that. And the staff attorneys are valuable for the judges
yes.
in preparing for trial. And so all of that.
Yeah, because the caseloads have, our caseloads have increased, but the civil caseloads have dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the highest increase I've seen on just civil.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's interesting because, you know, we're, of course, required to project substantially into the future in terms of communicating with the AOC, the Administrative Office of the Courts, in terms of their requests to the legislature. Because to put a new judge in, obviously it's a cooperation between the county and the state because
mm-hmm.
the judge and the county funds the space and all of that.
Right.
So looking forward, we can see the trend in the caseloads that we're set for magistrate judges for a little while. But the district judges, the caseloads are going up. And as Canyon County gets more businesses, we are getting more business disputes. And all of those... say your most common type of criminal case at the felony level, possession of methamphetamine. We have those are not very demanding in terms of time from the judge. But you have one complicated civil dispute between, say, two or three businesses. It's just hours and hours and hours. So we're getting, you just made the comparison to Ada. It used to be that the Ada County District Bench had the most complicated civil cases statewide, but now as our industrial farming, everything about our business community grows in complexity, we're just getting more cases and they're demanding cases. So we're already some of the busiest district judges in the state. And so that's going to be our request going forward. And we can, show you the numbers at that time.
Yeah. So do you have a courtroom? You said you and Judge Petty share chambers, right? So do you have one that's only got one judge so that if the new one comes, it can share? Or how do you add them in?
No. In fact, that's actually on our list of things to ask you about today, is that we don't actually have the square footage to put another judge right now. We don't have another. Like here on the first floor, there's Judge Roker and Judge Vanderbilt, and then they share a judicial assistant. Upstairs, you've got Judge Petty and me, shared judicial assistant. And the offices, you're welcome to come by anytime, but they're physically arranged so that the judicial assistant is in the middle. And then the next one down, so another set of the exact same thing. Judge office, judicial assistant in the middle, and that's Judge Whiting and Judge Grove. And so now... The newest slot, when Judge Grove came on, he was at the end of the hallway now. But when Judge Ford retired, he wanted Judge Ford's chambers because it's not a desirable spot. So the newest guy, Judge McCarthy, he is in this corner, top floor. And it's a perfectly nice office, but it does not have a bathroom. And he doesn't, you don't have immediate access to your support person. She's next door in another office. So physically, where we would put another judge, that's a challenge. That's something we wanted to ask of you today, is just for Bonita to be included on the talks about what to do with, I mean, obviously the county's building a lot of square footage of office space across the street. The building looks beautiful. If you could let Bonita participate in the discussions of what to do with the freed up space, we would really appreciate that, because Canyon County's not going to stop growing.
Right.
That's true.
If I could look back the clock, 20,000-30,000 people, I'd probably be okay with that.
Yeah, that's no problem. And it's good to find this out now, because we're in the early stages of talking about the remodeling effort that's going to have to be made. Once the sheriff's office vacates here and goes across the street, there'll be a lot of space that we have to figure out something to do with and how to pay for whatever that something is. So,
yes.
Thanks for the heads up.
Yeah. You guys have any other questions or?
I don't, but thank you for being here.
Yeah, well, thank you.
We had kind of a ships passing in the night on the last meeting with you, and you were in court, and so this is good to catch up.
Oh, it's great to be here. And I did want to mention one more thing, just so you know. We had a really complicated trial. You might have heard about it. It was one of the murders at the Red Robin.
Mm.
I should say, a Buffalo Wild Wing, sorry. One of those defendants, rather, went to trial in front of Judge McCarthy just recently.
Mm-hmm.
Very complicated trial in terms of, especially from a security standpoint, you have rival gangs at issue, so that's always a security problem. And then this particular case had people being transported from prison to Destin.
Mm.
So it required a lot of cooperation between the sheriff's office, the court, the marshals, the sheriff's office, marshals, and of course, answer to the court. But everything went off without a hitch.
Nice.
Complicated deal.
Mm-hmm.
Everything went off without a hitch.
Yeah, that's great feedback. Great to hear. They're all valuable. So, yeah.
I got to sit in a little bit of that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. It was interesting when one of the witnesses gets up and just says, I'm not going to answer that. I'm not going to answer that. I'm not going to answer that. I'm like, all right, what do we do with this?
It's interesting. I don't actually know anything about that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because all I talked about with Judge McCarthy was security for the trial. I don't know anything about. I couldn't even name the defendant, to tell you the truth.
He
talked about security and transports and things like that. So, yeah. Well, I'm sure that was challenging, though. Yeah.
I'm still not sure how they got through it. The defense attorney got up, and she was refusing to answer P.A. Boyd's questions. And then the defense attorney got up and got a little bit out of her, and that basically put her in a position where she had to start answering because I don't know what reason, and I haven't had a chance to talk to the P.A. about it, but... all I know is he said he thought that was pretty fun. So he enjoys his job. He likes being in the courtroom. So,
yes, it was scheduled for 21 days, and I think they got it done in 7 or 8 days.
Nice.
So it was, things went really well.
That's good.
Yeah.
Is there anything else?
Nope.
I don't have anything either. Chairman, I move we adjourn.
Thank you for being here. It's 11:19. We will be adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.